Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Ancient and the Modern. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is May 15th, and we are on day two of our travel article, Hawaii Touches the Heart. And as we go into our day two, I'd like to invite Linda to the program.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everyone. It is great to be back and to be talking about Hawaii for the second day.
I really love our travel articles. And when we actually have the honor of getting a travel article of a place we really want to go to or have been, it's even more exciting.
It is, yes.
And so it's so nice to go to Hawaii. But before we go to Hawaii, Linda, I'd like to ask, since we're talking about resorts, and a resort is basically, it's like a hotel, right? A resort is similar to a hotel, but usually with a resort, the resort has a lot of activity happening there, so you never have to leave it.
Right, exactly. So on the resort, you have the hotel where you're staying, you have pool in the resort that we talked about yesterday, the Mauna Lani. They have three swimming pools, and you also have the beach there, and you have other facilities and amenities that you can make use of. There's golf course. There are tennis courts or other courts that you can play on. So many different areas besides the hotel itself that you can make use of.
Yes, and a lot of these larger resorts, like sometimes I think of like Club Med, like a Club Med type of place. These are basically large resorts where you just basically spend your whole vacation in the resort.
Yeah,
you never have to leave.
You don't have to leave. Yeah, everything is there. All that you could want, your accommodation, your food, your activities, your relaxation, whatever is all there.
Yes, and I'd like to ask you, well, we narrow it down to hotel. It could be hotel or resort, but what has made a hotel or resort unforgettable in your experience?
In Jamaica, and I believe it was Jamaica where it started, this all-inclusive resort. So you pay one fee and everything is included in that. You don't have to pay separately for food, for your meals, or for even your drinks, alcoholic drinks or whatever, for the activities. Like if you want to go surfing or go boating or whatever, it's all included in that. So it just makes it much more relaxing. You don't have to worry about paying anything because it's all included in these all-exclusive resorts. And I did go to one the last time I was in Jamaica. And it's so nice because it's on the beach and you get to enjoy being there without having to calculate or like to budget. Oh, can I get this or can I get that? Or it's just all part of the package.
Yeah, so the all-included aspect or the inclusive aspect makes the resort experience incredible. Yes. And then one thing I think also makes a lot of hotels or resorts unforgettable is the service quality.
Oh, yes. Yes,
if they go the extra mile, the warmth of the staff, they go that extra mile to make you feel at home.
Yeah, I think the service that you get really impacts your stay at any place.
Yes.
Whether it's memorable because the service that you got was so great or forgettable because the service
was so bad. Yeah. And then you have to write a bad review of the hotel or resort on Google or on TripAdvisor or whatever platform that you leave reviews on. Well, friends, let's head back to the Big Island. We are going to Mauna Lani, and let's get into our first reading for today.
Food options. Foodies will be pleased with mealtime options. There is unique Mediterranean fusion dining at Halani and Asian-inspired cuisine created by Chef Rhoda Magbetong at Canoe House, both emphasizing local produce and seafood. In fact, Canoe House is credited with helping to birth Hawaii regional cuisine, a major food movement in the 1990s that shifted its focus to locally sourced ingredients and the cultural influences of the islands. Preserving history. Who doesn't appreciate the casual opulence of a five-star resort? Yet what separates the Mauna Lani from other high-end vacation properties on the islands is not the new renovations, but what is ancient. Hawaiian history feels like the core of the Mauna Lani experience, underscored by its living culture programs that share local history and traditions with guests. A vibrant Hawaiian civilization thrived for about 800 years before any Westerner arrived, and the resort has invested in preserving the heritage of that civilization found on its grounds. Steps from the beach, you can explore the trails of Kalahuipua Historical Park, created by the resort. Guided tours on foot or by e-bike point out the petroglyphs, take you through lava tubes, and explain the uses of the traditional structures found along the paths.
Well, the first thing we get to talk about today is the food.
Yes, we both love food.
We both love food, Linda. So talking about the food here gets me very happy because this resort has incredible food. Let's talk about what kind of restaurants are on this resort.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of options, one being a unique Mediterranean fusion restaurant. So you can get food that, this word fusion, like comes from the word, well, the verb is fuse. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of at least two different things or separate things that are blended together. So you have Mediterranean mixed with probably traditional Hawaiian food. And so you get this Mediterranean fusion that is at Halani Restaurant. And then if you go to Canoe House, you'll get Asian-inspired cuisine. Not just Asian food, but it's Asian-inspired. So that's also an indication that there's some fusion involved.
Yes, because it's inspired, right? It doesn't say Asian cuisine. It says Asian-inspired cuisine. So there's some fusion going on. And a lot of times when you have a famous chef or a chef that people will know, here we have the name of the chef, Chef Rhoda
Magbaton.
Magbaton. That sounds like a Filipino name, maybe a Filipino chef at Canoe House. And both of these restaurants, they emphasize local produce. So produce here, we're just talking about things that you grow. This is like vegetables, right?
Right. So
vegetables.
The produce section of your supermarket, that is your fruits and vegetables, yeah, that are grown.
Yes. So that's the produce. And then the seafood, of course, because you're by the ocean. Mm-hmm. So Hawaii has lots and lots of seafood.
Yes, fresh seafood.
Fresh seafood. It's also known for good sushi as well in Hawaii and poke bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both love poke. Yes.
Poke bowls. And Linda, what is a poke bowl?
So a poke bowl has usually some sort of fish and
raw
we
fish.
Love, yes, so sashimi-style fish. That's chopped up into little cubes. And in Hawaii, it's so popular. Everywhere you go, you can get poke. And Japanese, their local culture is to just eat it straight from a bowl. Like a poke bowl, from a container. But the poke bowl, it has rice and vegetables and the poke, the fish on top. But locals, they just eat it straight from the container. Like there's without any rice or vegetables. Yeah.
And so they're just eating that raw fish.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so good because I love sashimi, just eating the raw fish by itself. So just to have an abundance of that. And normally sashimi is pretty expensive, but that's something in Hawaii that's pretty affordable. And you can have, there's so many different varieties of fish that you get, not just salmon. I think we both like salmon, and that's usually the type of fish that you get in your poke bowl, fish and tuna, but they have so many varieties of fish that you can get. Yeah, you just go, like you go to a deli bar or salad bar, and it's just this whole selection of poke.
Wow. Okay, friends, so if you love sashimi, if you love fish, put Hawaii on your list of places you need to go to. Well, let's continue here. And one of the restaurants, we talked about the restaurant Canoe House. Canoe House has made some contributions to the food scene as well, right?
It has.
Because it helped to birth Hawaii regional cuisine. What in the world is Hawaii regional cuisine?
So it was a major food movement in the 1990s that ended up shifting the focus to locally sourced ingredients and the cultural influence of the Hawaiian Islands. So probably a lot of their produce was, or the food that the restaurants were using, were probably coming from outside of Hawaii. So here, the shift was to focus on getting locally sourced ingredients, getting food that was produced by local farmers and local growers.
Yes. And then it also talks about the cultural influences of the islands, the culture of the islands. So, of course, when we think of Hawaii, we think of the Polynesian influence, right? The Polynesian influence of the original Aboriginal inhabitants of Hawaii, and not just Hawaii, a lot of the Pacific Islands, right? They originally came from the Polynesian influence, and they're all islands that the Polynesians, they went to and then they settled in.
Yeah, by canoe.
By canoe. Canoeing is very, very important in Polynesian culture, right? So then we have the cultural influence of islands, and of course there's many different ethnicities that have influenced Hawaii over the many, you know, hundreds of years. And we have the Japanese influence, the Chinese influence, the Filipino influence, Portuguese influence, many, many different influences.
Yeah, and that was,
that's what makes the food so good, because all these influences, you talked about fusion, like we take the best parts of these different cultures and we blend the food.
Yeah, and so you get these unique pairings or even unique flavors and dishes. And something that really struck me about being in Hawaii is that it is a U.S. state, it is America, but I still felt like I was in Asia because there's so much Asian influence in Hawaii.
Right.
And you could get every kind of like Asian food that you'd want. And it was just so acceptable. It was the common thing instead of being like the minority thing.
That makes Hawaii really appealing, I think, for many, many different people. Well, we need to go on and let's talk about, from food, we could go on all day talking about food, but we got to get to our next section where we talked about preserving history. And what is actually very important about Mauna Lani is like it really preserves the history of the area it's in.
Yeah, they put emphasis on, like emphasize the history and the culture of Hawaii. They want to make that stand out.
Yeah, they do a lot of that. And a lot of that is, here it says, Hawaiian history feels like the core of the Mauna Lani experience. So something that is the core, just like when we talk about working out, the core is the middle part of your body.
The center,
right?
Yeah.
The center of your body. That's where your abs are, your stomach is. It's a very, very important part to be strong, because if you have a strong core, then you have a strong body. So the core, the center of the Mauna Lani experience is the culture. And it has many different programs. And at Mauna Lani, they call it the Living Culture Programs. And it's underscored by its Living Culture Programs.
Right. So underscore is another way to say emphasizes. So it's emphasizing this, the history and the culture of Hawaii with these Living Culture Programs that share local history and traditions with the guests.
Yeah, so some of the cultural programs they have there at the hotel, if you look into the website, is you can make leis. Leis is the flower garlands that we see when people dance hula.
Yeah.
You know, the dancers wear leis. There's the flower leis making. There's ukulele lessons. Did ukuleles come from Hawaii?
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Okay, so that's why we have the ukulele lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Teacher Hazel needs to go to Hawaii. Discover the roots of ukuleles.
Yeah.
And then we have weaving. So there's a lot of local culture programs that you could just pay for, or maybe it's all included in the hotel, probably all inclusive.
Yeah, they probably want you to take these classes so that you can learn more about local culture and history. While I was there, I tried hula dancing, but it was more difficult.
It's actually really hard, right? Hula dancing.
Because it's slow. So I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. But maybe my hand-eye coordination, you know, is not the best. So I found it to be a little difficult. I didn't get it right away, you know, like I thought I would. Also, leis, there's a lot of work that goes into making a lei. Like a lot of flowers are used to make a lei, like a real one, and they're expensive.
They're expensive because you use up a lot of flowers, mm-hmm, right? And it's time-consuming to make.
Handmade, yeah. If it's handmade, that takes a lot of time and effort.
Right. And then let's talk a little bit about Hawaiian history. So before the Westerners, before the Americans arrived, what was there?
Well, it used to be its own kingdom, like with its own royalty. And then colonizers came, and like any other land that was colonized, it became owned by another country.
So the kingdom period looks like the vibrant Hawaiian civilization. Like this vibrant civilization actually, it's really long.
Yeah.
Here it says about 800 years.
Yeah, it thrived for about 800 years. Yeah, before any Westerner, before any colonizer arrived on its shores.
So they had their own kings and queens and their own way of life and mm-hmm. their own way of governing. And then it said the resort has invested in preserving the heritage of that civilization that's on its grounds. So they've spent a lot of money to preserve or to protect that heritage. When we talk about heritage, we talk about, basically heritage is what your forefathers passed mm-hmm. down.
Yeah, the culture.
The people of the past passed down.
Of your ancestors. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then if you want, Linda, this is right up your alley. You can go hiking, right?
Yeah.
You can explore the trails of, how do you say this Hawaiian word?
Kalahuipua Historical Park. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So you can go hiking there. And then what are other things you can do on the resort?
Yeah. You can go on guided tours. You can either do it on foot or riding an e-bike, an electric bike. And the guides will show you where the petroglyphs are. And petroglyphs are carvings or drawings in the rock that were made by prehistoric people.
Yeah, so when think of petroglyphs, I kind of think like Egypt, right? In ancient times, like before there was writing systems, not just in Egypt, there's many, many places all over the world, or maybe in Peru, a lot of these ancient places, like, and also in Hawaii itself, like there were ancient peoples would carve things into mm-hmm. the rock to try to make a mark or to say a story,
mm-hmm.
or
yeah.
like that was their way of communicating.
Yeah. And
through
also
these rock
their
drawings.
Art. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'll see petroglyphs. That's really interesting. And then, so that's another feature that you can find on this resort.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's part of the history that they're trying to preserve.
Yes. And actually, what is the most magical about this resort is actually the fish ponds. So let's go into our next section where we talk about this heritage of history, the fish ponds.
Maintaining tradition. But what's really cool, the old fish ponds. Hewn from black lava rock, a labyrinth of seven ponds is fed by freshwater springs and seawater, and shaded by palms and native hardwoods. This brackish environment is what native Hawaiians used to create sustainable protein sources. Mauna Lani staff still manage the ponds in the traditional way. Ocean tides bring fish in through a series of wooden sluice gates. The gates allow small fish to come and go, but are too narrowly spaced for mature fattened catch to get back out. Our guide explained that rather than eating the biggest, healthiest fish, the Hawaiians made it a practice to harvest lesser fish from the ponds, allowing the strongest to replenish the population.
Linda, here it's really cool because usually we don't think of fish ponds as really cool. But the fish ponds is a really, really important historical heritage in this part of Hawaii. And can you describe the fish ponds?
Yeah, so these are old fish ponds and they're hewn from black lava rock. So they have this word hewn, right? The verb is hew, which means to cut something with a cutting tool. So they have been cut out from, like, within the black lava rock. And this system or this collection of pools, it's a total of 7 pools, but it's described as a labyrinth. Mm. And something that is a labyrinth is a large network. It's not, it's kind of sprawled out. There isn't like a definite, like, perpendicular pattern to it. It kind of has maybe a complicated pattern, might be difficult to navigate. So this labyrinth of 7 pools, it is fed by freshwater springs and also seawater. So you're getting freshwater and salt water. It's shaded by palm trees, and native hardwoods. So it's already set the scene of this black lava rock, like with pools of water, but that's in this kind of complicated or, yeah, intricate system network.
Yes, and it talks more about the color of the water. Here it says this brackish environment. Brackish just means water that's not pure, it's not clear, because it's usually slightly salty, right?
Yeah.
So the water is not, we don't have the glassy water here. We have the brackish water.
Right. And it's salty because it's mixed with seawater, fresh water and seawater mixed together.
Yes. But what's really interesting, it's basically natural fish ponds.
Mm-hmm.
These are fish ponds created by nature. And what's also very interesting is that this kind of natural fish pond is actually, there's a lot, it's sustainable fishing.
Yeah.
Can you explain how does this sustainable fishing work? Because here it tells us it's sustainable protein sources. So originally these fish ponds were they're nature made.
Mm-hmm.
So these nature made fish ponds, the fish from the fish ponds actually fed the royal family and their servants.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can you explain, how does this fish pond work?
Yeah. So the staff at the resort, the Mauna Lani staff, they still manage the pools in the traditional way. So this way is the ocean tides bring in fish through a series of sluice gates. And so sluice describes this passage of water that's through the gate, and so it can be opened or closed. So the ocean water comes in through these gates, and the gates allow small fish to come and go, but they're too narrow for the bigger fish, the mature fattened catch, to get back out. So they remain in the pools, like the bigger fish.
The bigger fish remain in the pools.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting about this is the bigger fish, they remain in the pools, right? But in our last sentence of the paragraph, it says that rather than eating the biggest, healthiest fish, which is what usual people would do, right?
Yeah.
You take the most beautiful fish, the biggest fish, and you cook it for dinner. They don't do that.
No, they don't. So they normally harvest the lesser fish, so not the biggest fish, and then they allow the biggest, the strongest fish to remain and replenish the fish population. Replenish means to restore or to keep supplying. So they are there to have more fish so that the population can be maintained.
So basically when we keep the biggest fish, we're basically keeping, it's basically survival of the fittest, right? You're keeping the biggest fish, the healthiest fish, so that these fish can have more fish.
Yes.
They can have smaller fish, and the smaller fish will be the healthiest fish, because we will always keep the healthiest fish in the pond.
Mm-hmm.
We will only eat the ones that are not the best, like maybe the second best.
Yeah,
because
right,
we want to keep the best fish in this pond. It's actually really brilliant, this old Hawaiian practice.
Yeah, it's very sustainable.
Yeah.
That's how, like, the population will continue. It won't die out, because you're not taking the healthiest, strongest fish out. And then if you keep doing that, then the population will eventually die. But here they are sustaining the continuation of the fish population in these pools.
Yes, and that is another part that is very interesting when you stay in a resort like the Mauna Lani, because they have preserved these fish ponds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also sure you're probably eating some of the fish from these fish ponds. Mm-hmm. So you're not, you can go hiking, you can go walk around these fish ponds, you can eat the fish from these fish ponds, but it's an important part of history. I mean, these, like, you are eating the children of the fish that fed the royal family.
Yeah.
Back in that day.
Yeah, they've been there for generations.
Yes, that is very, very interesting. Well, friends, that's very interesting. Today we learned about food. We learned about all the wonderful history programs that you can do on the resort. And we also learned about Mauna Lani's very famous fish ponds. Well, that's not it. We still have some more to talk about the Mauna Lani and talk about the experience of being in Hawaii. So make sure to come back for day 3 of our Hawaii article tomorrow. My name is Rebecca.
I'm Linda.
Saying bye-bye.
Goodbye.